Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. On yesterday, we began some considerations on the Godhead. We began looking at the theological basis of our belief that God is one God, but three distinct and separate persons working together in love, in unity, in cooperation, eternally equal and eternally coexistent with one another. And as we look now at how God has dealt with us, with mankind, we can see obviously, that all three persons, all three individuals in the Trinity are at work. We can see this in our salvation. We know that God is one, and that God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, they always work in harmony, in unison. They work together, but each one has a role to play in the various things they're accomplishing. In fact, we couldn't really be born again without the involvement of the Trinity. Remember, Jesus said, "No man comes to me unless the Father draws him." Here we see the Father working to woo us to his heart, woo us to Jesus. 1 Peter 1 and 2 says, "God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ." What is this scripture saying? That God the Father knew you and chose you. In fact, the scriptures say he knew you even before you were in your mother's womb. God ordained your existence. And then Jesus, God the Son, came and shed his blood on the cross in our place for our sins. He paid the price. He's our Redeemer. He gave his life's blood as an atonement for our sins. And then when we acknowledge this very fact that Jesus did come and die and rose again, and as we invite the Lord into our hearts, Jesus into our hearts, God the Spirit then comes and takes residence in us. And his purpose is to sanctify us, to cleanse us, and to transform us to be more like Jesus. Now, there are some beliefs, I won't spend a lot of time on them, but there are some major heresies that have contradicted this understanding of the Godhead. The first one is that there is not one God, and that's called polytheism, where there's multiple gods, or tritheism, where there's three gods. And one of these heresies would include Mormonism, for example, which says there are multiple gods. And I'm just being factual and informational at this point right now, but their doctrine says that Jesus was a man who became God, not God who became a man. Basically, he lived a good enough life to become a God. And this particular religion believes that there are multiple gods and that men and women like Jesus have the opportunity to become like God. That's why it's necessary to have a Book of Mormon in addition to what they call the scriptures. So we see that there's just a belief that there's not just one God, but many. And then there's another heresy that denies the Father and the Son and the Spirit are three distinct persons. And that's called modalism, or in Christian circles, oneness or Jesus only. And there is an entire denomination that certainly claims to be Christian, but they deny this doctrine of the Trinity. And they say that Jesus manifests as the Father, and sometimes he'll manifest as the Spirit, but it's always Jesus. There's no Father, Son, and Spirit. He's just changing masks. And yet, as I started, thinking about this, with our little brains, our minds, we cannot comprehend the concept of three persons in one. when we hear three persons, we think of them as three individuals, but that is not true. It is one God. And perhaps this understanding that I thought of might be helpful to you. Think about yourself. The scripture said, it says in Thessalonians, that God would sanctify you wholly, body, soul, and spirit. You're a tripartite being, aren't you? Your body, you can relate to that, and you have a soul and a spirit. Well, just like each aspect of your being, body, soul, and spirit, is definitely you. You can't separate your soul from your spirit or your body. It's all you, is it not? There's three different entities, but it's all you. So it is with the Trinity. At least that's how. That's why it's never been difficult for me to understand, because it's just, you know, we may not fully understand it, but it's a reality. It's a scriptural truth. Praise God. And then, of course, there's a third heresy that denies the Father and the Son and the Spirit are equally God. Early in the history of the church, it was called Arianism, which says that the Father is God, but Jesus isn't, that he's a created being. He's not eternally God. And today there's a sect called the Jehovah Witnesses who believe this, and they don't believe in the doctrine of the Trinity. So, beloved, our life depends on who is the God that we worship. What is our understanding of God? And I trust in this very brief time I've shared with you that you can see from Scripture that in fact there is one God with three separate persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So how can we, what's the point? Yes, this has been interesting, you know, theology, but how can this relate to our lives? Well, I'd like you to think for a little bit about the Godhead. Think about their existence. Before anything existed, before the universe existed, they were. Jesus said, I am. The when Moses spoke to the Almighty God in the burning bush, he said, tell the Israelites to say, I am that I am. Always, eternally present. And think about this. They are eternally present. They have a beautiful relationship that I think we could learn from. When we, as a Christian, repent of our sin, or as an unsaved person to repent of our sin, then we become a Christian. And as we trust in Jesus, as we invite him into our heart, that division, that enmity which existed between God and ourselves, because sin made us enemies with God, there's a reconciliation that occurs, and which is removed through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. His blood was shed on the cross, and he said, it is finished. So as a result, when we invite Jesus into our hearts, the Holy Spirit comes and resides in our spirit. And then because our spirit is in our body, as well as our soul, then our body, as the scriptures say, become a temple of the Holy Ghost. So as a result, we are brought into relationship with the Godhead. So all of our life, it relates to these three wonderful persons, these three wonderful individuals, God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus, do you remember he was saying? He said, ask in my name, but pray to the Father. And we know that the Holy Spirit is such a wonderful companion and guide and counselor and teacher. In fact, Jesus was absolutely adamant. His disciples did not want to hear. They were so excited and so thrilled that Jesus had come back to life. And because they didn't understand the scriptures, even though he told them beforehand that the scriptures must be fulfilled, they did not understand that Jesus was going to physically resurrect. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been so distressed and so fearful. But when Jesus walked through those closed doors, their greatest joy was to see that, in fact, Jesus was alive. Hallelujah. Death could not hold him. We've sung a song for years. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. Praise God. Aren't you glad for that? But because Jesus, when he ministered to his disciples, he breathed on them and he said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." At that point, they were saved. And then he gave a further instruction. He said, "You need to go to Jerusalem and I want you to tarry there." Why? And he said, "Because it's very needful that I leave, because if I don't, the Holy Spirit won't come. But if I go, I'm going to send the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit." And so the Holy Spirit, when Jesus left on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came to this earth. The church was birthed at that point in time. What a glory. I would have loved to have been present. I don't know if there's videotapes of a man's history, but wouldn't it be wonderful when we're in heaven to view a videotape of that glorious day of those 120 that were gathered in the upper room, the sound of a rushing mighty wind and the Holy Spirit appearing as tongues of fire upon each of their heads. What an incredible event to hear them as they went out and began to preach and speak in other tongues. What an incredible day if we could just go back at that time in Jerusalem. Well, I'm happy to say that the Holy Spirit hasn't lost his power. He still influences people in dramatic ways. Sometimes the infilling of the Holy Spirit is not essentially dramatic for some. For some it is. But he still comes to empower every single believer. And so the Holy Spirit then becomes our guide, our counselor, and our very present help through all the circumstances, through all the difficulties, through all the challenges. He's a wonderful, wonderful friend. And if you don't know him that well, if you're a Christian, I encourage you to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Speak to him as your friend and ask his help. I know there are times as a woman alone, there's times I've had to do things that were, you know, mechanical or technical, and it's like, oh my heavens. But he is so faithful. He's there with the eternal wisdom of God to help you. So I do invite you to get to know the Holy Spirit in a deeper and more precious way. Well, my time has just about come to a close, and we're going to be continuing on tomorrow's broadcast. We're going to look more at the attributes of the Trinity, or how they relate to one another, and how we can apply that to our own lives as Christians. I invite you to tune in. I think you'll be interested and blessed. But for now, I must bring this broadcast to a close. The announcer will give our contact information. I look forward to receiving your letter or your email. And UCM partners, I thank you so much for your prayers as well as your financial help. God bless you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,